The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Well, good morning one more time, and again, happy Mother's Day. I'm trying to figure out how to start this, because Kelsey didn't like my title this week for my sermon. Kelsey doesn't like a lot of things I do, so I kind of blew it off, no big deal. But I was trying to figure out how to introduce it, and in the best way I could, I wanted to capture a video for you guys, but I'm not really good. What's up, Richard? How are you, man? I'm not really good at technology and stuff, and so couldn't really capture a video. But what I wanted to capture was this, is when I get home, the entrance I get coming into my house. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody? How many of you guys get a grand entrance when you come home? Anybody get a grand entrance when you come home? From Soxwell? He greets you every night when you come home? So the entrance I get looks like this. I'll come in, and now granted, just picture with me, I live right here, I work right here. I don't go real far from the house. Like, I don't venture too far away. I'm not gone super long. And every single day when I get home, I open the door and I hear the two littlest ones, if they're home, "Daddy!" And they come running in. And now Thomas is crawling. And so he gets his best. He gets crawling as fast as he can. And he crawls in. And like, it's the best entrance to come home to. It's like, it seems like I've been gone for like months on end. They haven't seen me in forever. They've missed me so much. And Kelsey always says, "It really ticks me off." I didn't do anything. I wasn't like I had lined my pockets with candy, and well, actually, I do that. But no, like, you know, like, she's like, it makes me angry because, like, they're so excited to see you, and I'm just here. Moms, y'all relate to that at all? And I said, "Well, listen, why don't you leave for like 30 minutes and come back, and you'll get the same response." Kids don't have a concept of that, but you ever feel like, moms, you're kind of not the main character? You know what I mean? Like, everything that happens in life, somebody else gets the attention, they get the respect, they get, you know, dads get this and dads get that. And moms, sometimes you guys kind of seem like the underrated main character of the story. You're the ones who nobody really pays attention to sometimes. The hours of work that you put in, all those different things, sometimes they get looked over, moms. Y'all know what I'm talking about a little bit? All right, good. So this morning, we're going to look at a lady, and when we read this story, if you notice, she's not the main character of the story. I was going to call it was either not the main character was going to be the title of this, or be a Dorcas. So I figure, you know, not the main character seems a little bit less insulting than be a Dorcas. It's in Acts chapter 9. If you've got your Bibles or if you've got your notes with you, we're going to read the story real quick, and it says this. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died. Her body was washed and placed up in an upstairs room. Lydia was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydia, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went to them, and when he arrived, he went upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him crying and showing them the robes and the clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room, and then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became well known over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed in Joppa for some time at the house of a tanner named Simon. All right, now, just from reading that, who would you guys say is the main character? Peter, right? I mean, Peter does some pretty cool stuff. He heals a dead person. That's not like something that happens all that often. And in fact, everything you find about this woman, even the place she lived, isn't really that significant. All we know about Dorcas or Tabitha from Scripture is this. One, she lived in Joppa. You find out she lived in Joppa. You find out she made stuff. People were bringing stuff to Peter to show Peter, this is the stuff that she made and gave to us. And the third thing you know about this woman is that she died. That's it, right? Nothing else. We don't know her middle name. She has two first names. We don't know her middle name. We don't know, like, if she lived in a two-story. Well, we know she lived in a two-story house. I guess you could say that. But you don't know if she had a cat, if she had a dog, if you don't know if she was a dog person, a cat person. We don't know if she made the best spaghetti in the world or the worst spaghetti in the world. We don't know if she worked long hours. We don't know anything about her other than the fact that she lived in Joppa, she made stuff for people, and she died. How in the world can we learn anything or relate to anything from three simple things about this lady? But I think there's some interesting things that we can learn about her. If you look and see, you know this about Joppa, or if you do some research, you'll find out this about Joppa. It was a harbor town, and it was known for its citrus, and or more specifically, its orange production. It was a seaside town that was known for that. It's currently around where Tel Aviv is. All right, if you guys know where the, you guys know your, you know, everybody knows what goes on in the Middle East, I'm sure. In Acts 9:39, again, you see that the people were bringing the garments that she had made and presenting them to Peter in a way, as a way of honoring her. And again, in Acts 9:37, you find out that she got sick and she died. But yet, in these three things, there's some significant stuff that we can learn from not the main character of the story. When you look, there's nothing that screams that Dorcas is the main character here. But even a secondary character has some really important stuff that I think she can teach to us, she can teach to moms, and she can teach to all of us. The first thing that you can tell about this is that she was kind and generous. In Acts chapter 9, verse 36, it says that she was always doing good and helping the poor. While her stuff wasn't a major export, it wasn't like she was, you know, known for her eccentric cloth work. Actually, one commentary I read on this, it said that what she made could be likened to underwear. It was a garment that you wore under your robes next to your skin. So Dorcas made underwear. Well, thanks, I can go home so happy on Mother's Day. Moms, you ever feel like the job you get is the underwear job? You know what I mean? You don't get the fine linen, the glitter, the glam of the outside dress. You get the underwear job. The job that nobody really wants. But what's interesting is that because she was kind, because she was generous, man, while that may not have meant the world, and to Joppa, the people in Joppa, nobody was like seeking out Dorcas's underwear from Joppa. But man, the people that she gave it to thought so much of it that when she passed away, they came and they were saying, look, look what she gave to me. Look what she made for me. Peter, look at who this woman was. She was somebody who was so detailed in her underwear job. Moms, are you detailed in the underwear jobs? Church, are you detailed in the underwear jobs? Are you detailed in the jobs that nobody notices, that no one sees, that no one pays attention to, but they're the jobs that are the most meaningful and important? Why? Because they're the jobs that stick with people. See, you notice about her is that she was kind. She was generous. This is something that was built into her life. It talks about in Scripture how this wasn't just something that she did once in a while, but it was something that was who she was at her very core. It was a staple of her life. Luke, when he writes this, he talks about how she was always doing this. When Luke uses this term, it's to show that the person is full of it. She was full of kindness, of generosity, of taking care of people, of doing the jobs that nobody else wanted to do. It made me, and I'm not a mom, but it made me look at my own life and ask, am I consistent in the little things? And the stuff that isn't important to everybody else, am I consistent in it? Is it a staple of my life? Is it something that I put pride and I put effort and I put energy into and I take care of dearly? Or is it something that kind of like, well, when it's important, I put that focus on it. And then when it's not important anymore, I don't pay attention to it anymore. I told you guys it was our month of confession. I told you guys I was working on my temper and you gave me suitcase or pillowcase. What was it, Miss Mandy? Cheese balls, not suitcase and pillowcase. Where did that come from? Cheese balls. And I'd love to tell you that, like, man, cheese balls is still a term that we use at our house. But I will say this, that after my month of confession, and I confessed to you guys I was having a hard time with my temper with my kids, I stopped thinking about it until it became a problem again. And then I realized, man, I let the ball down on this, and I wasn't as intentional. I wasn't focused on this like I should be. Why? Because it seemed like such a small, little insignificant part of my life. See, I think what's interesting about Dorcas is that she was kind and generous always. It was a staple for her life. And so it makes me wonder what staples are parts of our life. You ever want to have fun with your kid? Ask your kid to imitate you. You'll see what you always do. It's interesting when you ask your kid to imitate you and what you always do, is it something you really want your kid to remember that you always do? Apparently somebody in our house says honey all the time, because when our kids play house, it's always honey this and honey that. And so it's made me more cautious about whether or not I say honey a lot, because they pick up on that. What are the staples in your life that your kids, that those that are around you, are picking up on? Is it kindness? Is it generosity? Is it a bad temper? Is it words that shouldn't come out of your mouth? Is it a neglect and a focus on your phone instead of on your family? The first question for moms and for you, church, is this, is what are the staples of our life? That's the first thing Dorcas teaches us. The second thing is this, is that her life was impactful. In chapter 9, verse 38, it talks about how they sent two disciples over to Peter because he was about 9 miles away, is where the town was. And so they sent two people running over to get him because her life was impactful. It moved people to do something. Y'all ever notice how Mother's Day always brings a crowd to church? Why is that, you think? Huh? Because moms move people to do something, right? Man, people, listen, we're going to come down here and we're going to talk fun for a little while. People will never come to church. They won't darken the doors of church until Mother's Day or Easter rolls around. Why? Because moms can move people to do things that they normally wouldn't do. All you have to say, mom, is, hey, listen, I'd like for you to go to church with me. And they show up and they come to church and they go with you and they're there with you. And they take you out to lunch afterwards and they do all these nice things for you. Why? Because their love for you moves them to action. Dorcas, the love that people had for her moved them to action. These guys were willing to run 9 miles to go over to get Peter from the next town to bring him back. Her life was impactful. It moved people. Again, moms, church, is our life impactful? Is the love that people have for us enough to get them to move? Or do we find ourselves surrounded by people who love us as long as we can sit still? And then it made me think about my relationship with Christ, and it said, man, the love I have for my mom is wonderful. Listen, there's nothing I won't do for this lady. Talk anything about me you want. Don't say a word about my mom. I can tell some stories about that. But I love that woman to death. There's nothing I won't do for her. She wants me to drive 8 hours through the night to go wrangle sheep at Walk Through Bethlehem. I will do it for her. And with a smile on my face, I'll do it. Because my love for my mom moves me. But then it got me thinking, my love for my mom moves me, but does my love for Christ move me? Is it impactful enough to actually get me up and get me to do anything? Her impact wasn't made without experiencing pain also. You notice that the impact only comes after she dies. What's that mean for you and I? It means a lot of times the impact cost us something. It cost Dorcas. Dorcas had to go through the experience of being sick, of suffering, of dying, just to get people to move. Sometimes you and I in life are going to have to experience some pain. And it's only through the experience of pain that we're going to see the impact of our life, and we're going to see the full extent of how impactful our life can be. But we have to experience the pain that goes along with it. Moms, you have a very painful life. The pain of childbirth is intense. I don't even want to get into that. That's another story for other days that I don't even want to deal with. But just in life in general, moms experience pain in a different way. You internalize things. Choices, decisions that your kids make rest harder in a mom's heart, I think, sometimes than anybody else. And the pain that you guys experience, I want to encourage you with this, moms. It's not pointless. It's impactful. That pain that you're going through is serving a purpose if you'll let it. If you'll let that pain glorify God, it's serving a purpose. Her impact was not without pain. See, because of her impact, because of what she did, it moved the disciple, these other disciples, to run to get Peter, to bring Peter to Joppa. And you say, well, that's not that big of a deal, but see, God needed Peter in Joppa. Tabitha, Dorcas, had to go through pain, had to die, had to experience all those things so that these disciples would run, that they would get Peter, and they would bring Peter back to Joppa, because that's where God needed Peter, was in Joppa. You say, why did God need Peter in Joppa? Well, one, to bring Tabitha, Dorcas, back from the dead. But it doesn't stop there. See, because if you continue reading in the book of Acts and you go over to chapter 10 and you read verses 15, it says this. Sorry, I got to get over there in my notes. Peter has a vision, and again, a voice came to him a second time. What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. Over in 10:28, Peter's talking about his vision, and it says he learned this through his vision. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean." What in the world's going on, Pastor? You're lost your mind. This is a Mother's Day message. Y'all know the significance of what this means, though? This is the start of you and I as Gentiles being welcomed into the family of God. This is the start of Christianity branching out past the Jewish congregation into the homes of foreigners, of people who otherwise would have been considered unclean. And it's interesting where this happens. Where does this happen? Joppa. Okay, everybody with me. So Peter had to go to where? Joppa, because that's where Dorcas was. Now, anybody know where else you find Joppa in the Old Testament? You find it a couple places, but there's one really significant. It's in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. When Jonah goes to leave, and he doesn't want to go deliver the message to Nineveh to repent, so he goes to get on a ship, and he goes to get on a ship, he goes to Joppa, the harbor city, to flee God's presence. And Joppa actually gets Jonah to the point to go out on the boat to get swallowed by the fish so that he'll finally do what God wants him to do and preach to a heathen nation about a God of redemption and love and mercy. It's interesting, Peter has to go to Joppa to find out that what God's made clean, Peter doesn't need to call unclean. See, Joppa has a history of being a launching point for God's plan of redemption to all nations. So this one lady named Dorcas had to die, had to suffer, so that all nations could hear the good news that there's a God in heaven who loves them. Y'all ever think about your circumstances, your settings, all the things that go on around you in life, and you kind of just think, well, man, it's just kind of happenstance? I look at everything that happens in this story, and while this isn't, while Dorcas may not be the main character of this story, I look at all the things that happened that God was orchestrating and putting into place so that this one message of reconciliation, redemption to all nations could get spread. Church, I'm here to tell you that there are no accidents, there are no mistakes, there are no mishaps. Every single thing that's going on in your life right now, God is using for an intended purpose to get that same message to all nations. Moms, again, I know this is Mother's Day, and I would love, I don't know if this is an encouraging, uplifting message for you or not, but if I could tell you one thing, it's this. Whatever circumstances, struggles, difficulties you're going through right now, however hard it is, however much pain you're sitting on, it is not pointless. God has you in the exact circumstances, the exact place you're in, because he wants this message to get out. So what you get to do is you get to be a beacon, a launching point for this message, moms. You have a vital part to play in the fact that God wants to redeem the entire world. You know how I know that? Who loves you like your mom? God. Ain't nobody love. Listen, I can do things and she'll love me. Not knucklehead here. That's all the times you called me a knucklehead when I was sitting in that pew. Nobody loves you like your mom, except God. And see, I think the reason is because God uses the love of a mother to show us what grace, what mercy, what love looks like. Church, what about you? What circumstances, what situations are you facing? And you feel like this is just so pointless and meaningless and all this stuff doesn't have to happen. There are so many other ways that God could have done things. Yeah, but he's got you exactly where you are, exactly what you're facing, exactly what you're going through to get this message out. See, I wonder why Peter couldn't have just gone from Lydia. Why did he have to come to Joppa? Well, remember going back? We said Joppa was what kind of town? It was on the coast. It was a harbor town. Where better to take the news of redemption to the world but from a place that had seaports, that has visitors that come in and out and go and travel the world? A harbor. You think it was a coincidence that Dorcas was from a harbor town? Nope. You think it was a coincidence that she was generous? Nope. Because of that, Peter stayed, because when he brought Dorcas back to life, it impacted the people around him. And they said, listen, Peter, we want you to stay with us. We want you to be here. And that's where Peter has the vision that tells him, hey, listen, the good news isn't just for Jews, but it's for the world. Everything about Dorcas's life was exactly the way it was supposed to be so that God could get this message to Peter and so that Peter could get this message to the rest of the world. It's interesting when you look at Acts, everything that's going on around this is the gearing up, the getting ready for the good news to be taken to the world. Church, everything that you're going through right now, if you'll let it, is God's way of taking the good news to the world that needs it. And I understand, man, things are tough, they're difficult, but if you let it, God's using you. He's got a place and a position for you to bring redemption to the nations. So all you have to do is let him use your life in that way. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to have a hymn of invitation, and here's what I want to do during the hymn of invitation. If there's a decision on your heart, by all means, you be obedient to God, and you make that decision. If not, moms, I want you to just worship. I want you to know we appreciate you, we thank you for everything you do. I want you to pray, moms, about specific areas of your life where maybe things seem overwhelming or uncertain or difficult. I want you to pray about how God can be using that, how you can use that specific situation to glorify him. Church, the same thing goes for you. Because as much as this is Mother's Day and we love our moms, I think God's word is for everyone. So as we have this hymn of invitation, be praying about what God has going on around you that seems like happenstance, but is actually God's way of positioning you in a perfect way to get the news of redemption to the nations. God, we love you. We thank you for today. Father, I thank you for this time when we can come, we can honor, we can recognize moms and their impact. And God, I understand that moms maybe sometimes feel like they're not the main character. But Lord, there's a lot we can learn from people who aren't the main character. God, we can learn how to be gracious and loving. Father, we can learn how to be giving and generous. Father, we can learn about staples in our life and things that are that we're known for by other people. God, from not main characters, we can see how their impact in the lives of those that they surround themselves with was enough to bring your good news to the world. So, Father, as we come to this time of invitation, I pray that as we worship you, as we sing to you, as we pray, God, that you would just lay on our hearts the circumstances and situations we find ourselves in. But God, more importantly, not just those circumstances, but help us to find in the difficulty, in the pain, a way to glorify you, a way to get that news out that your love is for everyone. And Father, that we would use this time and those circumstances that surround our lives as a means to glorify you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening. And may God bless you.